Because I want to be led by the shepherd. I want to hear that still small voice so I can do what he wants me to do. Amen? All right. Turn with me now to Joel chapter 2. This is a verse we touched on last week. We know that the shepherd primarily leads us by the word, by the inward witness, by the peace of God, and by the voice of the Spirit. Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29. And Joel is just before Amos, which is just before Jonah. Go about 30 pages to the left of Matthew. Excuse me. And you'll find Joel. Joel 2:28 says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out of my spirit." Now we know that this was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit was poured out. And so now we have another dimension of the Holy Spirit where not just the king and the priest and the prophet, but now the Spirit of God is free to minister to and through men and women through visions, dreams, and prophecy. So what about visions, dreams, and prophecy? Well, here's one rule of thumb you always need to remember. A dream, a vision, a prophecy, if it's from God, will always line up with the Word of God. It'll always be in concert with what the Holy Spirit has already spoken.
Amen.
Can you see that? So if you have a dream and you wake up, and the dream says you need to kill your boss. Well, I have news for you. That did not come from heaven. Amen? That came from hell. You need to rebuke that. Bind that thought. Are you with me?
Amen.
See, just because you have a thought doesn't mean it came from God. Did you know that? Have you ever had a thought that you know didn't come from heaven?
Amen.
All of us can identify with that. Well, if somebody has a dream, has a vision, has a prophecy, and it doesn't line up with what the Scripture says, we can forget it. All right? Now, we also looked at 2 Peter chapter 1 last week. We don't have to turn there. But this is where Peter said, "I was with Jesus when he was transfigured. I saw Moses. I saw Elijah. I was the guy who said, hey, let's build three tabernacles. Moses and Elijah disappeared. I heard a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son. Hear ye him." And so Peter said, writing to the church, that we were with him in the holy mount. We saw this great manifestation. We had a vision. Now, the word vision in the Old Testament has a couple different applications. The Hebrew word kizayon literally means a revelation. So in the Old Testament, when they had a vision, God was revealing something, uncovering something. In the New Testament, when Paul was talking to King Agrippa, and when he said, "I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision," he used a different word, and it was apostasia, and it literally means a divinely granted appearance. In other words, Jesus appeared to me and spoke to me, and you know, things like this had a tremendous impact on Paul's life. Now, are visions for us today? Certainly. We need to have more of them. Amen. We have the Holy Spirit, don't we?
Amen.
So we can't put him in a box and limit him. The only thing is we need to make sure that these visions, dreams, and prophecies line up with what the Scripture says. Can you see that?
Amen.
Almost every major religion on the face of the earth began either by a vision or a dream. Most of them were visions. Muhammad wrote the Quran over a 20-year period because he said an angel appeared to him and gave him this revelation. The amazing thing is, you know, the Quran quotes the Bible like 95% of the time. Bible never quotes Quran. Are you with me? Never. It was an angel that appeared to him that gave him this revelation. Most cults and somehow got deceived. And many times it was because somebody saw something, heard something. I know a well-known pastor who's gotten off track, who preaches a different gospel now because he heard a voice speaking to him about people going to hell. And so now he's chucked all his theology that he learned and decided to preach this, he calls it the gospel of inclusion. And the sum of it is everybody's saved, they just don't know it. So there's no need to repent. There's no need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, and he had a powerful church, thousands of members. He started preaching this gospel of inclusion, and he got upset because everybody left. They did. They left him in droves.
Amen.
They left him by the thousands.
Amen.
And they should have.
Mm-hmm.
Because what he was teaching was not true.
Amen.
See, Jesus didn't come to establish a new religion. He came to establish God's kingdom. He came to give us life. And we receive that life by believing in his redemptive work.
Amen.
So now we live in the age of the Holy Spirit, where God has poured out his Spirit upon all flesh, and we can prophesy, we can have dreams, we can see visions. Too many churches go to the extreme and exclude those things. Why, if you have a vision, you know, keep it to yourself. You're nuts. Or if you want to prophesy, we don't do that here. No, we need that.
Amen.
God put these gifts in the church for a purpose. We just have to make sure that they are guided and governed by what the Word says. Are you with me?
Amen.
So that's the rule of thumb that we need to use. Now, let's talk a little bit about prophecy. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And we're going to talk a little bit about prophecy, prophets and prophecy. As I said last week, you know, it's fashionable in our culture. Did you realize, and let me regress a little bit, that fads go through the church just like they go through secular society?
Amen.
You ever notice that? There are a lot of things you'll see it sweep through. One person's doing it, then you see a lot of people doing it. You know, now in our culture, and trust me, I don't mean to be unkind when I say these things, it's fashionable to call yourself prophet. It's fashionable to call yourself bishop. It's fashionable to call yourself an apostle. Thank God for all the ministry gifts that God has placed in the body of Christ. There are apostles. There are prophets.
Amen.
But many people who identify themselves as one of these ministry gifts really don't understand what those ministry gifts are all about.
All right.
Amen.
Amen.
And, you know, evangelist so-and-so. I know people who, you know, they introduce themselves, I'm evangelist so-and-so, like evangelist was their first name. And I understand where you're coming from. A lot of times we bring a lot of religious baggage along with us in our journey for Jesus. I'm the kind of guy, I like to travel light. If it's not necessary, I drop it.